Broadcasting from the Stewart Title Studio on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona, you are now tuned in to The Mark Bishop Show, discussing life and business with guests from all over the world. And now your host, Mark Bishop.
My very special guest on The Mark Bishop Show is a doctor of physical therapy who specializes in chronic pain. And I'm sure there has been quite a few of us who have suffered from that within our lifetimes. I'd like to welcome Dr. Mark Pertl.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Mark and Mark, huh? A couple of dogs with a hair lip, as they say. You actually started your professional life as a physical therapist with your main focus on chronic pain. Is that right?
Well, I started working with athletes and made a transition into working with chronic pain. That's how that happened.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the athletes component of it then in the beginning.
Well, I started working at the University of Arizona, and I have relationships with some coaches there. And so I was known as an astute diagnostician. And so sometimes I would get some elite athletes referred to me. And then once I developed that sort of reputation, traveling teams, cycling teams, running teams that came through Tucson to train, I would see some of their athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt you'd see a lot. You were brought up in Tucson, Ryan.
Well, I moved to Tucson from Southern California when I was 15. I went to high school here. So I'm as close to a native as you can get. I've been here over 40 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, they say 30 years,
right?
Don't they? And you are a native.
Yeah, so I earned the Tucson T-shirt.
You're true Tucsonan. What was it, do you think, Mark, that led you to, shall we say, the healing world?
Yeah. You know, I got my first degree in political science, and to put my way through school, I was an EMT. I drove an ambulance. And I think it was that first experience in healthcare, and I was also training in the martial arts, and you know, I was interested in healing my own injuries, and you know, physical therapy just seemed like something that fit well for me, and that's how I decided to make that transition.
It was a bit of a mix, wasn't it? I mean, ambulance driver or therapist, I should say, in there, and medical man versus you know, chop you up, Ho Chi Minh style. What was it like working on the, well, what's the terminology as an ambulance man?
I mean, there are paramedics. I wasn't a paramedic. I was an EMT.
Okay, EMT is what
yeah,
I was looking for.
And so I drove, and I worked in the back, and, you know, we went on, you know, all of those calls that, you know, you might glamorize on TV, but also most of the work was, you know, transferring people from nursing home to hospital and back, you know,
right.
Things like that.
Okay. You tried the business with partners route, but that didn't work out like you thought it would. What was all that about in your early career?
Sure. I started a physical therapy company here in Tucson, and at the time, nothing was satisfying. My business was making money, but I wasn't satisfied. So I looked around for opportunity, and I met a couple of people and brought them on and split my business up one third, one third, one third.
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Right.
And the next thing you know, I got voted off the island, and that sort of caused a transition in my life, something that I wouldn't have wished for myself or anyone else.
Right.
But after, you know, it's been 20 years since that time, I've come a long way, and I've learned a lot. And one of the things that
Well, that's why you're here today, really, because, I mean, your story is going to be quite unique. And really, if you look back at it, that was probably the start of it all.
Absolutely. I ended up...
People can end up with greatness out of the worst dark clouds ever.
That's exactly
that
what
comes
happened.
On later on, because that's what happened. You lost everything, didn't you?
I lost it all, and I ended up in a... I you know, people mostly go to rehab when you're in a place like I was, but I couldn't afford it. So I ended up in a Tibetan Buddhist monastery in Udla, Australia, and I learned to meditate. And that's when my focus shifted, because I did have an education on chronic pain, but then I understood chronic pain from the inside out. I was watching my own mind and my own pain that I was amplifying. Mm-hmm. And I came to understand, whether it's psychological pain or physical pain, the person that's experiencing the pain signal is the one that can inadvertently amplify it. And that's what causes chronic pain. It's an amplification of a pain signal. And so I did that with depressive thoughts, and so I got depression, and I did that with thoughts of fear, and I got anxiety, and I developed insomnia, which is an amplification of thinking and feeling. So everything that a person might go to rehab for is the same sort of mind-body interaction, where there is a signal. A person is feeling or experiencing something, but their mental and emotional interaction, the relationship they have with that signal, makes all the difference. And if you can't see yourself amplifying the signal, then it becomes a runaway train and you develop a diagnosis.
And then somebody gets worse.
It always gets worse. So
is this where you take it within, and it can cause all the other problems?
All the other problems. So the mind and the body are not separate. There's always, if you're thinking and feeling something, there is an immediate shift in chemistry and brain activity and hormone activity. And so the body is always listening. And so you have to be very careful about the dialogue that's running on your circuitry. And if you're not watching, your story can make you sick.
Hmm. Okay. So this is where the likes of the writers of the Tom Dooleys and so on, you are what you think, and you are what you eat, and you are what you say.
Yes, indeed. And even if you're not saying anything, if you're ruminating, if the theme of the story that's running on your mind is a theme of threat, at first you're going to be scared, but over time you're going to become anxious, and it might even get worse. You might develop OCD or PTSD or you know, any number of anxiety-related issues, insomnia.
Mm-hmm. And it goes worse. Well, now, after some 20 years of bootstrapping yourself around the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine Fellowship Program, you speak nationally at professional conferences. You're a man with full confidence back after what you've been to and back again. How do you find that today?
I'm excited about, how my career has worked out. I'm working with world-class colleagues. I get to speak in front of national conferences, which is very gratifying, and it puts me into contact with meeting more amazing people. And because of the work that I do through the Center for Integrative Medicine, I was able to realize a dream of making a documentary film, Is Your Story Making You Sick? And I made that with one of my colleagues, Dr. Anne-Marie Chaisson, and we just came out with that film this year.
We're going to be talking about that. It's pretty good. I've had a good look at it. I was very impressed. You're a pioneer in integral thinking, right, really, in stress relief and recovery, a clinician, teacher, consultant, writer, public speaker, and filmmaker. One would say that you've experienced all sorts of feelings and emotions and control of needing to be control of oneself. Straight off the top, how do you explain to somebody to get out of that and to be how you became? How do they cross over?
Okay, that's a really good question. And I will preface by saying it's always harder, and it will always take longer than you want it to.
Right.
Okay. And everything starts in the mind. And if a person is not able to see, and the mind works very, very quickly. And if a person is not able to see the flicker of thoughts and emotions that pass through the mind, then a person can get swept up and caught by their own thoughts and feelings. And so if you can't see your thinking as thoughts and you're swept up by your thinking, that's when the amplification begins to start. And so what meditation does, meditation teaches you to objectify. So who you think you are, the subject, takes the sense of self or the thinking and makes it the object. You become the observer mm-hmm. of what's going on inside of you. And that observer stance gives you a little bit of space between the emotion and who you think you are. And that's the space that you can begin to cultivate and create, in a sense, disentangle yourself from your story. But it starts there, and it's not easy.
Do you attribute a lot of your internal discovery to the Buddhist experiment? I think I'll say experiment that you went through.
That's a great, because I'm not a Buddhist.
No, I know that. That's why. And it was in Australia. Whereabouts in Australia?
Well, in Yudlow, which is on the Sunshine Coast, very near Noosa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Up in the hinterland?
Well, just on the border.
Right, beautiful
like
country
Island,
out there.
Beautiful.
Right.
And, yeah. And it's north of Brisbane. It is a Tibetan Buddhist monastery. And although I'm not a Tibetan Buddhist or I don't affiliate, Buddhism stripped down, sans the religion, is a philosophical psychology. So philosophy in the sense of what's true mm-hmm. and psychology in the sense of working with the mind. And it doesn't take the perspective, like Westerners take the perspective on mind from the outside. Like we look at a brain and see how a brain functions mm-hmm. and we look at people and how they interact. And we try to discover some patterns that relate to the psychology. From the Eastern view, it's different. You as the practitioner view the mind from the inside. So you are the observer of your own mind. And so just like science now sees or observes what's called a third person truth. So you, Mark, can do an experiment. You can drop a ball, you know, in this room, and I could drop a ball. If everything were equal, I could drop a ball somewhere else and we would measure about the same phenomena. And it wouldn't matter if we did it 100 years ago or 1,000 years from now, the same phenomena, that's a third person truth.
Okay.
But from the inside, there's also a third person truth. Me observing my mind, you would see the same thing observing your own mind, except the contents of your mind are different. Not how the mind itself arises. So consciousness, if you can see consciousness clearly, anyone who sees consciousness clearly sees the same thing. And the only difference between what's in my consciousness and what's in your consciousness, Mark, is just the story. You know, you have Mark Bishop's story and I have Mark Pertle's story.
It's almost like one just puts a skin on or a coat on.
Absolutely. Now, you know, the brain is attached because there's a mind-body connection. And so if my brain were damaged or brains are changed by what happens to you. If I had trauma as a child, that would change my brain. Mm-hmm. And that would then, those changes would cause me to think and feel and react in a certain way. I would carry the scars of that trauma. But that doesn't mean that if I learn how to watch the mind and look at those scars, I could, in a sense, transcend them by objectifying, by disidentifying with the traumas, the words, the stories that are going on inside. And that's how a person transforms him or herself. That's how I emerged out of this.
Well, it's very, very interesting. I mean, it sounds like, if I was to ask you, how would you describe your work? We're talking, by the sounds of it, connecting the dots between science, wellness, business, culture and spirituality. There's a hell of a mix in there.
There is, because everything arises in the mind. You know, and humans are in relationship to objects. And so
right.
So you and I are in relationship right now. You're sitting across the table from me, and so I'm observing the object of Mark Bishop, and you're observing the object of Mark Pirtle. The interaction between us is the same as you being in relationship to a plate of food, or me with, I mean, wherever human beings go, there's a subject and then there's an object, and the interaction between the two. What the meditator learns how to do is watch that dynamic. They watch the subject themselves, they watch the object, and they watch the interaction, and they stay out of it. They just observe.
So what do all stress illnesses have in common? I mean, all stress illnesses start in the mind, right?
Right.
So how does that happen?
Okay, so just what we were just talking about, down, it was a perfect question, because so person, Mark Pirtle, has this business blow up. So that the subject has this object happen to him.
Yes.
Okay, and that interaction between the two causes the stress. Now, if I, Mark Pirtle, the subject, lose objectivity, if I become identified with my story, then my story and all the hate that I'm experiencing and projecting out onto my ex-partners, that begins to grow.
You're hurt too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's not to diminish the feelings, because they are there. But if you don't want to kill yourself with your own anger, you have to learn how to disidentify and, in a sense, move on. You have to develop a part of yourself that emerges, kind of like a warrior, kind of like a hero, that a phoenix that rises out of the ashes. You have to develop that narrative. And if you don't develop that narrative, you're stuck with the character of yourself as the victim. And that victim narrative will only cause stress-related illnesses to get bigger.
So I'm listening to the difference of your approach, right, to, as we know it, for the treatment of stress-related illnesses. All right, this is what you now specialize in, and the results that you're getting. Now, do you still teach meditation?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So tell me what inspired you to make this movie that you touched on earlier, and what's it about? How did you make all this happen?
Okay, so the title of the movie is Your Story Making You Sick, and it tells the story of eight people that go through a program. They come for four retreats over 6 months, and they all have stress-related illnesses. And what we try to do is to try to teach them how to watch their own minds and watch their relationships to others, watch their relationship to anything. So subject, object, interaction between the two.
Right.
And can they, through this programming, and here's the thing, anything you do, any experience is going to change you. And so the fact that they came from other parts of the country to Tubac, to the Kenyon Ranch where we filmed, not Canyon Ranch, but Kenyon, K-E-N-Y-O-N, Ranch, where we filmed it, they had experiences. And in the moment that they're doing something new and thinking differently and being taught something new, their brain is changing. And so they get to take those brain changes home with them and then interact with their family and at work again, their own thoughts and emotions, and then come back. And we did this four times, and we recorded four retreats out here. And a lot of the folks did emerge from that experience with a different story about themselves. And because their story shifted, their brain chemistry changed, their endocrine system changed, and a lot of them got better. Now, that didn't happen for everyone, because
We haven't got a miracle cure here.
There is no miracle cure, because the mind is a very sticky thing. If you are absolutely committed to your story, you're committed to your story. You have to raise your perspective. You have to be able to look at your story from someplace else. You have to develop some space between you and who you thought you were in the past. And if you can't do that, if you're clinging to that narrative, then things won't change.
What are you really hoping for with this movie?
Well, we
in a perfect world, you could wave the magic wand, what would you want
from
this?
Well, what we're trying to do is start a national conversation. So currently the way stress is being handled is it's medicalized. So if you're not living in a healthy situation and you develop a stress-related condition like depression, anxiety, and addiction, you go to the doctor. So everything is medicalized, but the conditions that caused you to have these depressive thoughts and these anxious thoughts and to be not in right relationship with substances, the conditions that caused all that are still there. You can take all the pills in the world or keep going to rehab. It's not going to change.
No, we know that, don't we?
You have to.
It comes from within.
You have to understand that it's a system problem. And everyone what we need to do is grow up through our senses, which means, you know, babies learn how to use a body to sense a world, and they sense it very concretely. Everything is solid to a child, and so are their emotions, their sense of themselves, their I am my body. But as children grow, we develop a more subtle relationship to ourselves. We can think about our own thinking and we can think about our thoughts, and we develop subtle relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And being in a subtle relationship with something is not as intense as a concrete relationship. And when people are under a lot of stress, it puts them in a concrete perspective. And so we have to teach everyone about how to grow up their consciousness and become their own best therapist. We have to teach people how to be conversant with their own mind and their own emotions.
It sounds heavy.
It's heavy.
But it's fascinating. How close do you think to Fritz Perls and, you know, Jung and Virginia Satir and people like that?
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with Jung's work, and Jung is works is very connected to narrative and symbol, and everything turns on a symbol. So what's a symbol? It's a symbol stands in for something, and so our thoughts are symbols for something. If when I leave here and I think of us doing this interview, we won't actually be doing the interview. My thoughts will be representing the past, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's what's always, we're always in relationship to a symbol. And so Jung was correct in that symbols and our relationship to symbols do make a difference in how mature we are psychologically. And if you can't see yourself and how you relate to the symbols that are arising and passing through your mind, you can be stuck by them.
I'm speaking with Dr. Mark Pertl on Tucson Business Radio X. He's my special guest, also in the Mark Bishop Show. He's developed an evidence-based program for stress relief, and it's called Skillfully Aware, and it's registered trademark.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So Skillfully Aware is basically an education in how to understand, well, see thoughts as thoughts, feelings as feelings, triggers as triggers. See them from the space of an observer. So I teach meditation and mindfulness for the purpose of helping people understand their relationship to their own, the triggers in their world, the thoughts in their mind, the feelings in their body, and how to then disentangle themselves from a concrete narrative and eventually, so develop a subtle relationship to all of these things so the emotions aren't so intense, and ultimately use their imagination and their creativity and their gumption to create a new life that gives birth to another chapter in your life or another story, and you become something different, right? And we have to live into our healing. We have to grow into our healing.
It just doesn't drape us spontaneously.
Nothing arises.
Nothing's easy, is it?
Well, it's not easy, and nothing arises from nothing. Everything that arises is caused. And so if you want to make a change, you have to cause the change. And what Skillfully Aware is about is teaching you how to do that.
Okay. You teach attunement skills through the use of meditation and mindfulness in ways that empower people to work towards, I guess, a healthier relationship with themselves, others, and the outside world. I guess when you look at that and it's better, you feel better. I mean, we all know that, don't we? This full-length documentary film title is Your Story Making You Sick. It's an interesting name.
Mm-hmm.
You came up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it for a minute, your story being your life, or more, you are as you are now, your story, and thinking like the way you are and as you are now, is that what's making you sick?
Well, it that makes a lot of people sick. Yeah, their narrative and how. Here's the thing: you can either have your story, meaning you can observe the story, the thinking, and all that that's running through your life. You can either observe it, or you can be had by it. And being had by your story, like I was originally when, you know, my business blew up, I was had by my story and I was consumed with hate.
Yes.
And I developed all of those stress-related illnesses. It's because I did not have a perspective on my story. It
right.
was who I was. But now what happens to me, even when I have stressful experiences in my life, I'm able to observe in the moment everything that's happening. And so they're just happenings. And that's different than being caught by.
Okay. When you do teach the class of Skillfully Aware, what does a person do if he or she is suffering from, let's say, a chronic stress-related condition? What's the first thing you have to get through to them, so to speak?
Well, in the first class, I teach one of the first elements is teaching ethics and morality. So you have to do good to feel good. And if you're not in, and so this is really all about being in right relationship, not only with yourself, but with others in the world. If you want to feel better, you have to start changing your relationship to your own thoughts, how you speak and the words that come out of your mouth and what you do with your body. And that's actually the beginning, and it begins to create a moving pattern of positivity. So then the relationships in your immediate relationships, you start to clean up and feel better. You feel more support from them. You change your relationship with your own body and your own mind, and so you feel better about yourself. And these are the subtle changes that change your brain and change your physiology, that over time, this moving pattern gets bigger. So what I'm really talking about right now, Mark, is karma. Karma is infinite actions that create a moving pattern. And that pattern isn't an absolute thing, but it creates a space of probability. And a person with good karma, more probably, they're feeling good because they've created the causes and conditions to feel good. And folks that don't have good karma, it's not because they're evil. Mm. And it's not like something happens to you. It comes from you. You have created the causes and conditions whereby your thoughts are more generally positive and you're more resilient. And even if lousy thing happens to you, you're able to surf the wave a little bit more with a little bit more grace.
That's an interesting outlook on your interpretation of karma. I'm pretty sure that anybody listening, as with I, had a different version of what we thought karma was.
Yeah, this is actually the old...
It's a Western thing. I mean, it's an Eastern thing. No, it's a Western thing.
Yeah, right. Well. So this is where I go back to Buddhist psychology and the shift that Siddhartha Gautama, who is the historical Buddha, brought to this conversation. So before he started teaching, karma was what happens to you. Like God was in charge and there was a judge, there was some sort of veil behind reality and there was some sort of administrative function that made sure everybody got what they deserved. Well, when Siddhartha Gautama came along, he realized that people are more empowered to be good, change them the way they feel in the moment, by how they intend to act right now and be in relationship right now. And so he empowered people with this idea of karma coming from you as opposed to karma happening to you. And that's really a very empowering message. And it sort of comports with Western science. Western science shows through living systems theory that, and I don't want to get too heady, but everything that's alive organizes itself. Like you and I are alive and our hearts are beating, but I'm not beating my heart and neither are you.
No, it's doing it automatically.
And so is your brain functioning automatically and our fingernails growing and our food digesting. Like everything happens by itself. And each one of the 100 trillion cells that's alive in our bodies right now, they are operating on their own, bringing in the oxygen and nutrients, getting rid of the waste, and quintillions of little actions are summing up to produce the grand total of Mark Pertl and Mark Bishop. And that sum total, there's physical and chemical things going on, there's biological, there's psychological things, and we're influenced by this larger collective. We live in a society. Those four things that I mentioned, we don't have immediate influence over those things, physics, chemistry, biology, psychology, and culture. But we do have influence over our intentions. And if I walk in here with the intention to be kind, I'm the first beneficiary of that intention. And that intention then also influences you because you're sitting with a person who's kind and caring, and then my kindness influences you in a positive way. That's the moving pattern I'm talking about. And you have to start with understanding that the ethics and the morality create the moving pattern of karma that ultimately will influence your psychology, will influence your biology and the physics and chemistry. Although there are rules that are governed by other forces, you can change the chemistry of your body and ergo your autoimmune disease ultimately. And I say potentially, you can't,
well, no,
nothing is determined, nothing's guaranteed, but you stand a higher probability of becoming healthier and happier by creating that moving pattern. And that's why I teach in Skillfully Aware. And that's what I'm just trying to live in my own way. And I can tell you, I used to have half a dozen stress-related illnesses and more pills in my medicine chest than I care to admit. And I don't have any of that now.
What about genetics?
Genetics does play a role, but it's not the primary factor in determining illness. There are, like cystic fibrosis is a genetic thing, and Huntington's chorea. Yes, Lou Gehrig's disease. Yes, there are these genetic conditions, but most of the reason why a person goes to the doctor, 70, 80, 90% of the reason is a stress-related illness, which means the illness, the environment that the person's in, the relationships that the person is in, is not conducive to being healthy and happy. And because whatever happens immediately, we're emotionally connected to the world, whatever happens immediately to you, that is going to change your biochemistry immediately. Mm-hmm. And then genes, ultimately, if you're bathing in stress hormones all the time because the environment that you live in is stressful or what you're thinking is stressful,
yes,
you will change your genes will turn on and off and you will develop perhaps an autoimmune disease or heart disease or whatever. And it looks like, yes, that's a physical and a biological thing, and it is, but it wouldn't have been there had it not the experience that you went through and how you related to that experience happened in the first place.
There's such a word called e-mindful, and it's your work right now while you're waiting for your center to open up, which we'll talk about in a moment, down in Tubac, beautiful Tubac outside of Tucson. What is e-mindful? And how does it relate to people coming out of pretty bad, drug situations?
Okay, thanks for I'm partnering with this company called eMindful, and they have asked me to put together their addiction program. So it's a 10-week program. It's online, and I teach these classes. I created the classes for them. I teach them, and they have this platform that is national, and they have relationships with very large Fortune 500 companies, and their employees that are struggling with addictions or substance abuse issues. Mm-hmm. Can participate, and I would be their teacher.
So that this is a corporate thing where they realize that this sort of support and infrastructure is worthwhile doing for their employees, mm-hmm. instead of just firing everybody. Yeah. It's save what we've already spent on and help them at the same time as individuals. Absolutely. And there's a lot of this going on, isn't there, now?
Yeah, absolutely. So mindfulness is all the rage right now, and large corporations are understanding sort of they're getting a hint that stress-related illness is going to be the thing that either breaks our bank healthcare-wise, or we come up with better solutions. And mindfulness is a better solution. Mindfulness can be taught, it can be trained, and then the person, the mindful person, the one that is attuned. So you used the word attuned mm-hmm. earlier. So mm-hmm. what attunement means is I'm able to sense into myself with acceptance and care and a wish for a higher good. So I'm kind to myself. And I'm aware of the triggers and the thoughts and the sensations. I also am able to attune to you, sense into you with acceptance and care, wish for a higher good, and the situation, whatever, could be workplace situation. People who are attuned are doing the best work. That doesn't mean they don't make mistakes, but they're operating at their highest level of efficiency. Mm-hmm. Health-wise, spirituality-wise, they are smarter, they're more logical, they're more rational, they get things done, they're more creative. And so in order for our healthcare system to work, people have to learn to become mindfully attuned to themselves, others, and situations, so they can be a better therapist, they can be a better to themselves, they can be a better husband to their wife, or vice versa, or parent to their child. Every relationship in your life changes when you are a mindfully attuned person, and it all goes for the better.
Mindfully attuned. Attuned. It almost sounds like, you know, just every now and again, don't be so selfish and think of the other. Become mindfully attuned on how you can communicate better and save a lot of the problems. I'm alluring to 51%, 52% of Americans are divorcing. There's never been such a bigger percentage of people after 20, 25 years, 30 years of marriage, just making the decision, you know, to once and for all cut the cloth and try to find themselves again. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much that has got to do with
the lack of attunement. Yeah, because attunement also is sort of a synonym to attunement would be harmony. You know, where there are two notes that are in harmony with each other, and attunement is something you can feel. You can feel when you're attuned to somebody. You can feel when there's a harmonic, and you can, and what you feel is you feel the other person has your interest at heart as well, not just their own, and that makes everything feel better. It's and I say this in the movie. It is really hard to heal alone. And where our healing is going to come from, it's going to come from relationship with something else, not just ourselves and our own thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't meditate your way out of things. You have to participate in and cultivate other relationships that help you grow and evolve and develop. And learning to something like Skillfully Aware teaching you about how to attune to yourself and others, that's a start, but it's only a start. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a 6-week class and nobody's finished. after 6 weeks. It's like I said, it's longer and harder than
it's ongoing, isn't it?
And I'm still growing. You know, it's been 20 years, and every day this is my practice. I'm just trying to be a better Mark. You know,
Tubac is special to you, I gather. I mean, what are you hoping to achieve out of what you're trying to develop down there?
Well, because we made the film, and it's touched a lot of people's hearts and minds. We found some investors that are very interested in helping us grow our work, and so we've purchased a 1,233-acre ranch down there, and we're going to open up our retreat center.
So it's a ranch?
It's a ranch. It's a farm. It's
like cattle?
There are cattle there now. So
live things and everything. So is this going to be part of the treatment?
I don't know what we're going to do with the cattle, quite honestly.
There's nothing nicer than going out and petting a lovely
cow. We're going to for sure have horses.
There
are going to be animals and experiences that help people.
Sure.
Grow themselves up, you know.
Well, sure. I'm a great believer in the trot program, and I've seen incredible results for young children happen with that, with horses and vets as well. So that part of it's good. What? Try and give me an idea, though, of what would be. Are you going to run? I mean, if one goes to this thing, is it going to be like for weeks on end, or just at a week, or
it's the same?
What do you need?
Yeah, well, it's the same program as we did on the film.
Okay.
So four retreats over the course of a year, and these retreats will be between 7 and 10 days. And the reason we're doing that is because traditional rehab is both too long and too short at exactly the same time. 30 days is too long to get out of your life. If you're a mother with kids, or if you're, you know, you're a guy and you're running this business, you can't pull out of your life for 30 days. It's just way too hard. And 30 days is too short to transform yourself. There is no way. And I've seen it. And so what we are doing is we're doing an approach that should be the standard, but it's not. Because this is how human beings learn. You learn because you do something and it's iterative. You try at something, and then you go back home and you make your mistakes, you learn from them, you come back, you learn some more, you go home again, you make your mistakes, and the programming progresses every single time. And you do it over a long period of time in the course of a year, so four retreats over a year. And at the end of the year, there's still some ongoing programming if you want to continue to do that online with a community, but that's how it works.
Well, I mean, it's such a short year for you. You're not going to much stress out of that a lot, is it? How many weeks is that? You were doing a lot of other things, no doubt, in the off season.
Oh well,
so
no, this is going to be a full time thing. You know, it's going to be rotating groups. So yeah, I'll be busy.
4 a year, 10. That's only 40 days. Well, yeah, 10,
yeah. So we get 36 groups going through there.
It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
And what's a typical day? Give me a typical day in the world of Mark Pirtle at the specialty retreat in Tubac, where people have come from Europe or New Zealand or God knows where, because you're getting breakthroughs. People are reading about you. They're fascinated with this new way of thinking, and they've decided to. And you're going to have accommodations, of course.
Absolutely.
The whole thing.
Oh yeah.
So people can come. What would one do? I guess it's going to start with being acclimated, for starters.
Yeah, there'll be an orientation, and there will be like in Skillfully Aware, we're going to have an ethical agreement. People are going to, we're going to create a culture where people are we're trying to facilitate wisdom and kindness. So we're trying to cultivate, even though somebody's going there because there's a lot of pain in their life, we don't want to, you know, splatter that pain all around on everybody else. And so everybody's going to show up and try to be their wisest and kindest self. And so we will create an ethical culture first and foremost.
How does one do that?
Through
if one is really, really hurting badly, carrying a lot of baggage, as we say.
We help people understand the three ways to think.
Early in the game.
The three ways to think. and the four ways to speak and the three ways to use your body. And so there are 10 virtues that we talk about.
All right. So what we're talking about is from the time that one would arrive. This is like a little book I'm given, perhaps, to look at. It's like the Ten Commandments.
It's kind of like, and a person would agree to abide by this set of ethics and principles.
No, that makes sense. It's fair.
Yeah.
You're here. You've spent the money. You've come here.
Yeah.
So you might as well want to, 110%, you've got to give it.
Absolutely.
And the very first part of it is just having a look at this and digesting it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it and making your mind up that you're going to give that of what you're being asked before you're going to get major results out of it all.
So it starts with ethics, but then, it's healing from the ground up, really, because we do have a farm and we're going to grow high nutrient-dense organic food. And
you see, there's another part of it, right? What you eat.
Absolutely. And it is an absolutely amazing ecosystem. A river runs through the property. There's a pond. And so you will get back to nature. You will ground yourself in nature. You will exercise appropriate to whatever physical shape you are in. And we will teach you how to work with your own mind. And you will also come to know, the groups are groups of 12. So you'll come to know 11 other people who will share this adventure with you for a year. And each group comes back together. They spend the entire year together, and just like we did in the movie. And at the end of the year, you have people who are bonded and care about each other and have supported each other through thick and thin, and have also shared some difficult things to hear with each other and given each other feedback, and that facilitated growth. And you will have also done things that challenge you physically and mentally. Right. So you grow that warrior in you. And after that year, you think of yourself differently. You are the warrior.
Every birth, shall we say.
You are the warrior. You slay that victim.
Interesting. So me, myself, and I better be careful, because the three of us could be in trouble. But what you were saying, there's, it's a long time, but you're going to be better for it all, because, you keep on going down that track and it's nowhere. So you need to be reborn, so to speak. But of course, there's no religion involved.
Well, and people will bring whatever spirituality that
for
they,
them. That,
yes, absolutely. And we'll help them get closer to their own sense of source.
Are you going to be filming anything at all from all of this?
Our guests will do we call it the Revelation Cam. And each guest will do a video diary of their own experience, and they'll be able to take that home so they can get a perspective on who they were as they went through the program. But none of this will be made public at all. It's all private for them. Each person will have their own video diary, but that's just for them.
Well, that's a pretty good idea too, because it's like looking into a mirror, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In a lot of different ways. Well, let's talk about... there's three. I saw the 15-minute version and the 2-minute trailer. I didn't get to see the full-length film, but there's three addresses that people can go to. We can give them out now. There's a Vimeo, https, /vimeo.com. This is Meditate, and there's a link on this. But these three particular links, are they on your website now?
A person can... go and watch the trailer on the movie's website, which is www.story.movie, or the other website is www.thestorymovie.com.
Story.movie.com, is it?
Story.movie.
Story.movie.
Yeah, no .com at the end of that one. Yes. that movie.
And all sorts of different things are on there. Docos, mini docos, what?
Well, it's the trailer and all of the experts in the film, and it tells a lot about how the film was made. You get to know the participants and their backstories. But we're not, unfortunately, not sharing the feature length film yet with the public because we are right now being asked to share this film in dozens of behavioral health conventions. I'm doing two conventions a month for the rest of the year, and we want to roll it out to the professionals first and to develop that network, because they're going to take it. Mm-hmm. They're going to create screenings for their...
Now, this is the full length. How long is the full length?
90 minutes.
90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we're talking professionals. What do we mean? Psychiatrists?
Psychiatrists and psychologists, social workers.
Okay. Full gabit.
Yeah.
And how many of them would be in a room, as an example, when they say this got released, are they watching it? What could you expect when you do a conference like that?
Yeah. Well, I was just in... what was the last one we did? Was in San Diego at the FACES conference, and there were 300. Just before that, we were in LA, and there were 600. I'm going to La Quinta at the end of this month, and there'll be 1,000. So each
one's getting higher and higher.
Well, yeah, they're different. You know, Florida's is going to be the month after that, and then Nashville and Cape Cod, and so we're all over the place.
Oh,
yeah.
Fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah,
traveling a little. I mean, yeah. Thank good on you. I mean, I hope they're paying you to do this.
Yeah, a little bit.
One needs a living.
Yeah, right.
Is there anything that you can, because we're coming relatively close to the close, but is there anything else we can share for somebody out there who's in a bit of pain at the moment?
Well, if a person is suffering from some sort of repetitious pattern, and if the repetitious pattern is just one of emotion, you're stuck in anger, and or you have a repetitious pattern that might be a biological, you've got chronic pain, or it's psychological, you are depressed or anxious. All of these conditions have causes. And what a person who's suffering from one of these conditions needs to understand is what makes it worse and what makes it better, and how to begin to let go of the former and actualize more of the latter. And if you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to minimize the causes and effectuate the cure, then you're going to be stuck with it. And so, you know,
there's no hope of shrugging it off.
No,
you can't just get rid of that, can you?
No, it's not going to snap your fingers and have it go away. So yeah, take a class. You know, if you're interested, if you like what you've heard, and you want to take a class, get on my website, skillfullyaware.com, and we'll have a class, you know, sometime later this summer, and just get on the mailing list.
That's a good idea. Now, those three links that I was talking about, then will they be on that site for them to follow through to?
Well, we were talking about the movie site. So the movie site is, again, story.movie. That's the one it's the easiest one, you know.
Okay.
And people can learn about the movie there. It won't be released until probably next year to the public, just because we're doing a really great run with behavioral health conventions.
Sure. No, that's critical they get to understand.
Yeah,
first,
and we have a toolkit for them. And so to work with it.
And what's the result been? They all want it?
They all want it. And
that's marvelous.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
Well, good on you, Doc.
Things are...
You're really doing something for society,
yeah,
aren't you?
But if you want to do something for yourself, then join me on my website, which is skillfullyaware.com, and I teach classes, and you can get started with me. We have a lovely community and lots of people working on themselves and supporting each other.
Skillfullyaware.com. You got that? That's a clinician, teacher, consultant, writer, public speaker, filmmaker, Dr. Mark Pertl. He's a pioneer in integral thinking. What did you think? And in stress relief and recovery. I think he's rather wonderful. I do appreciate you taking the time out to be on my show.
Well, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you having me on, and
You're one of my first. Well, I love what you're doing, and I think I've just got a good feeling that Two Back will really do wonders for a lot of people, and hopefully it won't be too long now.
Right.
Before you open the doors?
Right. Well, we have to build it out, so
right. Everything
takes time.
It takes time.
It's going to be longer and harder than we think,
But but once it's done, it's done.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Mark Pertle.